Hi, welcome to Universal Soul Love. I'm David Love.
I'm Lana Love. Great to have you here.
We have a very special guest on our show today. It's hypnotherapist David Quigley. He's with the Alchemy Institute. He's a certified hypnotist and past life regressionist therapy instructor. He's written a few books. He's an instructor of mine. I learned through him. I've had great experiences with David, good friend, admire him greatly, and I'm really excited to have him on the show with us today to discuss past lives, twin souls, the twin flame theory, soulmate relationships, karmic contracts, anything to do with personal growth, and David's extensive experience with hypnosis and using it for self-improvement. David, welcome to our show.
Good to be with you.
Wow, it's so great to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. So, why don't you go ahead and start asking the questions? I'll be happy to answer them any way I can.
Okay, why don't you tell us how you got started in the spiritual community and your background and experiences and about your books and just we'll leave. It's just a casual conversation. We're really interested in hearing what you have to say about it.
Yes, so, okay, well, my exposure to past life regression actually came through some very phenomenal experiences in my early life. Before I even understood what past lives were or how they affected us, a time, in fact, when I really didn't have much belief in past lives or anything else, being the son of a Christian minister, of course, I realized right away that Christianity was not going to be my solution. But I didn't really understand past lives, so I had one of the most amazing experiences of a past life regression when I was only 5 years old. And my parents had come home with some very tragic news that a member of the church had died suddenly while giving birth. It was, of course, a very tragic experience. And I remembered suddenly that very night after I heard the news, having a very powerful dream of a past life. I was sure that's what it was, a past life in which I had lived in England and worked in the mills and was escaping from the mills, having died, and was now flying over them with this enormous sense of relief. And I started to tell my parents, I said, well, you know, death isn't so bad because I remember dying before, and it was a good experience. And I was about to describe this very vivid dream, which I was sure was a reality. And unfortunately, my parents, being Christian as they were and not believing any of this, told me to be quiet, that it was just a stupid dream, and that I'd better just keep my thinking on the subject to myself. Nevertheless, it made me start wondering, what is that vision I had? How could I have died before? It was only many years later that I got to college and studied at Duke University in the field of comparative religion, that's right, Eastern religions in particular, and discovered that belief in and understanding of past lives has been around for thousands of years in the East.
That's right.
And furthermore, during that same time period, I began to have extremely vivid images of past lives that I had lived before. And as you know, I've even met people who have shared these past life memories with me. And that's made for a great deal of excitement and fun. For example, I remember meeting at a National Guild of Hypnotists conference. I think it was in the early 1990s. And I met a very interesting man at the National Guild conference banquet who was, I was swore, he was King Francis, whom I had served in France over 500 years ago. So I asked him, I said, what were you doing in, you know, what were you doing during the 1500s? And this fellow said, well, I don't believe in past lives. So I shortly found a way to escape from the heat of the banquet hall and went upstairs to the hotel and began playing a song on the piano that I had written for King Francis of France, because I was the court musician in his court, and I started playing this song and dreaming about him and how wonderful it had been to serve him and to play the music for him. And suddenly I heard all these tears, and sitting next to me was this man. His name was Thomas. And he looked at me and he said, what is that song? I've been hearing that this song all of my life. what is it? And where can I get it? And what I said to him was, I said, you know, Your Majesty, it was your favorite when I wrote it for 500 years ago. Oh, and all of a sudden, and he wiped the tears from his eyes and says, okay, I believe. So that's one of many stories I could share about my own experiences and why past lives have been so compelling to me in my personal search. You see, a lot of you may have past lives as being, wonderful spiritual teachers and healers and transcendental beings. And quite frankly, most of my past lives, I was a rake. I was a nincompoop. I was I marched with the Huns and caused fantastic damage in my past lives. And that's one of the reasons why I'm back in this lifetime, to make amends.
I guess I can relate to that, and you know my story. You've met one
of
my past
lives. Why don't you tell
us
our studio audience, so by all means, go for it.
I've had sessions with you, and I'm a member of the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm a board-certified hypnotist, and I became certified with you under past life regression therapy, which was that experience that I had with you was very unusual, and I know that my past life personality, Arthur Wade, spoke to you, and very interesting, and I'd had many experiences with Arthur prior to that, and with spiritualist mediums where he came through them, and it was this was part of my awakening, and very difficult for me to handle as an investigator, looking for concrete evidence to things, But what was more interesting, I realized later on, is that it was my higher power that was also speaking with you, David, at that time, at that conference.
I
didn't know that at the time, and I realized it was coming through me as I was coming to the conference on that class day. And so my experiences were a bit, it was difficult because I realized that I, too, had many lives that were sort of warlords and causing, at least that was my awareness, and that's what I believe to be true. So coming to terms with that sort of thing, it took me a while after the sessions that I had with you to really, you know, sort of integrate that. But I did successfully do that. So
boy, it sounds like you two have probably got a big guilt complex.
Most past life regression therapy and therapists is they're not really aware of any way to process what we call overt acts or what we call karmic deeds. It's all well and good to go back to a time in a past life you were the victim of some trauma, the victim of a massacre, you were hurt doing this or that. Those these are apparently commonly covered in the literature. What is almost never exact, except in some of the early work of Dick Sutpen, is precisely how to face those terrible things we have done in our past lives in order to clear the karma that we have created through those terrible things in our present life. In other words, to change the pattern of luck requires, as you know, David, a very special collection of tools, which I teach in that advanced past life regression course at the National Guild. There's where you can finally learn how to face the karmic deeds of your past and how to clear them. Although, frankly, it's never as simple as simply, and now you forgive yourself. I wish it was that simple. It can be a complex journey to find what atonement you need to complete in order to fully complete your karmic debt or obligation.
So, David, David Quigley.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
David, a question I have to you, David Quigley, is, that raises a really interesting point, doesn't it? That, I guess, issues that we have in the past might not be with what was done to us, but what we did to others. And is there a variation on that? I mean, do people have, you know, some lives where they were the victims and other lives where they were the aggressors?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I would say all of us at one time or another have been victims as well as perpetrators of abuse. And it's important to deal with whatever memory your subconscious mind brings to you. But when clients come to me and say, I want to know the reason why I've suffered these terrible patterns of bad luck in my life, then almost certainly we're going to be going back not to a trauma, but to an overt act, because the question we ask is, what is the karma? What is the reasons for my pattern of bad luck? So a lot of times, whether you come up with a trauma, or whether you come up with an overt act, or even a relationship contract, it depends entirely on what the client comes to you with. What do they want to learn? What breakthrough do they want to have?
What did you call it, an overt act?
Overt act. That's an actual legal term. Overt act means something terrible we have done to another person. Unlike the word sin, which is a moralistic concept of the church, or crime, which is more of a legal term, the word overt act, although also a legal term, specifically refers to someone perpetrating evil or harm onto another person.
It's objective rather than subjective.
Yes, and nor is it ruled by the common morality of, say, laws or sins. For example, in the Catholic Church, simply playing with yourself is a cardinal offense for which you will burn in hell for eternity. Well, anyone who has studied the nature of karma knows that that, frankly, is complete garbage.
I agree.
Masturbation is not a cardinal offense. I mean, and our laws are no better. A person in some state down in Texas smoked a joint and was sentenced to 20 years in jail because of it. So you
Sounds
can see why
excessive.
we need another definition for those really evil things that we do to other people that cause us to suffer serious karmic consequences over many lives. And that's where I picked up the word overt act.
Well, I guess we're giving things the label of sin and the label of evil rather than just looking at the act itself and saying, this is what you did and this was the outcome and this is what happened to the person as a result.
That's exactly
Now, what are we going to do about this? And my higher power would tell you, and this is one of his favorite sayings by Lord Byron, is, mine is not to reason why, mine is but to do or die, because we often look for reasons, we look for the explanations, we look for the whys, and even when we come up with something that sounds really good and that explains why something happened to us, it's not good enough because we haven't dealt with it. And that's what I believe where your training comes in really well in your sessions, and I highly recommend
that. That's right. It's never enough to just look at what we did, because we then have to figure out, what can I do to make amends?
Yes.
For what I did. And there is, of course, this popular belief that if you are washed in the blood of Jesus, or if you give your karma to some guru that's happy to take it from you for a certain, often stiff price, this is the way we deal with karma.
Yeah, well,
nothing
we know that we need to take personal responsibility for what we create and manifest in life.
I have a pretty important question here, though.
Yes, please.
It's a question of boundaries in terms of past lives. If we're in this present life, can we actually be held accountable for a past life? I mean, it is a past life. By definition, it's a past life. It's not the current life. And, you know, it brings us to the...
Oh, yes, we're absolutely held accountable. Our soul is, even though in our culture we are often forbidden by our parents to remember the past lives we have lived, nevertheless, our soul is well aware of the evil deeds we've done in the past, is well aware of what needs to be done in the future to make amends, even if the conscious mind has been groomed by society to have no such memories. Let me give you an example of this. Of course, it's a matter of being conscious, of learning how to be conscious, but I remember when I was a teenager, at the age of 13, I was awakening into the state of sexual arousal that is sort of perpetual in those teenage years for us guys, just as I was waking to this level, I had the most bizarre sexual fantasy you could ever imagine. In this fantasy, I was fully dressed like a musketeer in France. I remember this, the funny-looking pantaloons and the hose and the tunic of a musketeer. I was dressed like this, and I was on my knees in front of a beautiful woman dressed in a Renaissance clothing. And I was promising her, I promise I will be faithful. In particular, I said, I will never again be unfaithful to you or any other woman. You are the woman I'm going to be faithful to my entire life. And this was an extremely arousing fantasy. Even though my conscious mind couldn't understand I mean, this was definitely nothing out of Playboy magazine. There was nothing sexual going on at all. But I knew there was something profoundly significant about that promise. And furthermore, all through my life since that time, I have known that my goal in any relationship is first and foremost to be faithful to my partner. Yeah. It was, however, only many years later that I became aware that as a musketeer and court musician for the King of France, I was also, like so many musketeers, so many noblemen at that time, I was, frankly, eagerly seducing every woman I met.
Oh, you're bad. Reading. You're so bad.
And now, in this whole lifetime, it's been about, and I've known this all along, it's about now it's time for me to make amends and be a faithful beloved. I've even met three women in this present life who actually remembered me from Paris, France, and said, really? You were a rake, you left me pregnant by the side of the road, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. I've been confronted by three women who remembered what a jerk I was.
Oh, my. You know, Leonard and I, we sort of promote the post-feminist movement, which is the closing of the gender gap and, divine feminine essence and sacred masculine essence, which is basically the goddess Aphrodite and Aries, Mars. And it's really interesting because I realize from both of those sources that men, but there's been a lot of damage to the goddess, through the goddess consciousness, by that kind of behavior from the masculine gender. And so now we are here making those kind of amends and keeping with our integrity and trying to do the right thing now as you are. It's kind of interesting because I sort of echo what you're saying here.
Yes, in fact, it may well be that you're in this lifetime yourself to make amends to the goddess and to women for the actions that so many of us as men have been guilty of. And yes, one could easily argue that at the time you were conditioned by the men of your time, including my father and my older brothers, saying, oh, yes, this is what you do. But it was my responsibility to look into the eyes of those women, to see their pain, to feel their hurt. That was my responsibility. And I don't get to escape from that by simply saying, oh, well, we were all doing it back then. There is no escape from your karma just because of ignorance. Likewise, in this present life, I am not freed of that karmic obligation just because I don't remember having persecuted or seduced and molested women. That doesn't mean I'm excused. I still have to learn the lesson.
The lesson, yes. I share in that, and I hear what you're saying. I'm aware of
someone, and I remember this, one of my former graduates said to me, oh, well, I found this spiritual guru who says that he will take away all my karma for, I think it was $10,000 was the fee and for all that. Well, I said, nobody is going to be able to take your karma away from you because it is the lessons you need to learn. They may take your thousands of dollars and thus
create
the karma for themselves. But they're not going to be able to take away your karma because your karma is your lessons that you need to learn about life. That'd be like saying, well, I'm helping out my son by doing all of his math problems for him. How is that helping him? How is that solving anything? How is that preparing him for his life in the world if I'm sitting there doing his homework for him? That's hogwash. The same is true for spiritual teachers that promise to relieve their disciples of their karma. No, you have to learn from your karma. You don't get to just blow it off.
No, and that's what karma is. Karma is about lessons. It's not. I don't believe it's so much about punishment. It's about evolution of the soul. And I think Lana may have a question for you as well.
In fact, it may feel like punishment, but I totally agree. It's really about lessons once we finally surrender to and learn from those lessons. Yes, Lana.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess understand this concept because I think guilt is a very traumatic, negative emotion, but I think what you're saying is there's a difference between being responsible and actually feeling guilty. Would that be right?
Yes. Now, certainly we can say
that. The other question I have to you is that, I mean, you've confirmed that if people have multiple past lives, that some lives they may have I mean, I guess some people might have been okay and not done anything in particular, but I guess the ones that people remember are where there's a trauma, either to themselves or, as you say, if there's been an act perpetuated against someone. I guess my question to you is, how many people would you say who have issues in this life where they are victims of a situation, as we see it, how many of those people would have been victimized in the past as opposed to being aggressors or oppressors?
Well, of course, not being God, I have the limitation of not being able to read people's karmic situation, their Akashic record, at a moment's notice. So I honestly don't even want to tackle it from that point of view. As well, my theory is, I could give you a theory, which is that every one of my clients who is a victim of abuse in their present life is probably both a victim of abuse in their recent lives, as I was. As a woman, I was raped, I was seduced and abandoned by men repeatedly in the last 500 years. So I've had suffering as a woman because of this karma, but I also think that most people have had those patterns of suffering, and that most people's pattern also includes or even begins with an overt act in which they hurt others in much the same way. Now, that is not always true. An obvious example would be, for example, that if Jesus came down and died on the cross in order to be resurrected, I don't think he came down to pay off some karmic debt where he had been a persecutor in previous lives. I think he took on the responsibility of this martyrdom and of this resurrection in order to fulfill a divine purpose that was well beyond the business of cleaning up negative karma. So not every pattern of suffering is because you've done something wrong. Sometimes we take on particular challenges or suffering or even loss as a part of our soul's learning at a higher level. You see, learning about the suffering of the world doesn't necessarily mean we've been a perpetrator of that suffering. So therefore, I cannot claim, as does God or does the Pope, I cannot claim that I know that you did something terrible in a past life and that's why you're suffering in the present. However, most of my clients, when they come up with, I want to find out what the cause of this is, and we go searching, we find horrific past life traumas that they are responsible for perpetrating. Mm-hmm. And they're often horrified by this discovery. So I would say it's a fairly common phenomenon. But again, I don't like to make the assumption that I know that it's all about this or that.
That is fascinating. Now, what I think we're going to have a really, really interesting conversation here. And forgive me if I'm a bit of the devil's advocate, or
Lana is also a very proficient hypnotherapist, by the way.
And I'm
okay, I'm excited to talk to you, Lana.
And I do therapy actively with people, but there's nothing about past lives. And I mean, I'm open to it.
Good.
But that's not where the therapy that I do with people is very much based in the present moment. Now, it's interesting, though, because people who are victims there's an interesting phenomenon of, you know, almost yin and yang, victim and oppressor, because, of course, people that are victims or have been victims and who continue the pattern of being victims into adulthood, the hating in themselves, the poor self-esteem they have, it's like they are their own oppressors.
And that's certainly true. That phenomenon comes up, exactly, where they... This is what I call having an internal saboteur. You've learned, in the past, you were a victim of such horrific abuse, but it was never safe to blame the real perpetrator because you could get killed. So a lot of times people turn that experience of hatred on themselves. And that's often a process related to a present life. It's usually not about past lives. It's usually about childhood experiences of violent or sexual abuse in most cases.
Well, exactly. And that's certainly where I, you know, so many of my cases involved childhood sexual abuse.
However, there's another kind of saboteur you may not have met yet, or maybe you've met, just haven't learned about yet. And that is the saboteur that says, I have to punish you, to the client, because in a past life you did terrible things like this to other people.
Oh, okay.
So the saboteur can actually be not just caused by present life trauma, but can be caused by the client's deeply suppressed guilt about having been themselves a perpetrator, as if to say, you deserved to be molested, you deserved to be abused, because in a past life you were yourself a monster. The saboteur will know this, even though the client may have no conscious awareness of why that saboteur is in action.
Okay, now we're on to difficult territory, because my work is always on the person loving themselves, accepting themselves, and seeing that they weren't to blame for what happened to them as a child.
Yeah, and most therapy processes are about what I call empowering the victim like this. And I do a lot of this. Yes, now we see it wasn't your fault because your mother did this, or your father didn't love you, or you didn't even have good parents. So, of course, that's why you wound up doing terrible things or experiencing terrible things. And so we can repair that in my work by giving the client new inner parents in the inner world that can give them new memories of a beautiful new childhood.
How do you tell if there's a past life? And my concern, obviously, is if someone thinks they have a past life and they don't, you know, you can get into terrible difficulties where a person can then believe that they've been a bad person because of past lives, and then they can re-traumatize themselves all over again. So how do you differentiate between those two situations?
Well, for one thing, I don't recall ever running into a case where a client comes up with some horrific past life overt act unless it rings absolutely true to them and to me.
For example, the kind of
example I gave here, where I actually have met women coming up to me and saying, look, I know what you were doing in Paris, and I haven't forgiven you. I mean, I still have that happening, so it's very true. However, I would say, first of all, that it's got to be an advanced client in almost every case before I even begin to go back and examine overt acts. It's got to be a very advanced client, because with most clients, I'm too busy repairing the damage to their ego from their parents, and having to rescue them from traumas in this lifetime and provide them with a new loving family in this lifetime. The rescue and empowerment of this victim and finding a new family is of critical importance, and I would always do that in the early stages of therapy. If a client comes to me and says, well, I know I've done some kind of terrible overt acts, I am reluctant to work with them until I know for sure that this isn't some kind of twisted result of some childhood abuse or neglect. What happens is, when I work with a client in several sessions, and we've done a lot of the kind of ego-building therapy that you're talking about, which I have a great deal of respect for, when the client comes to me and says, well, you know, now that I've got new inner parents, I've got a better perspective on this, I know it's not my fault, but yet I want to understand what the meaning of all this suffering has been. That's where they're demonstrating the level of maturity at which we can then go back and see the true story of their past overt acts. So in other words, I think your intuition to be leery of leaping into this world is correct. Don't go leaping in there with beginning clients. It won't work. You need to
I
have
think the higher self built. Generally gives you the information you need to know, and not before then, because you're not ready for it. And so when you're ready to delve into your past lives, you will know that, and you will do that, and you will have those experiences. And you may be in what you're talking about as a karmic contract, I guess, pre-life planning, where you come to the realization that you're with a partner who is your soulmate or your twin flame, and there's issues that may need to be resolved. Or is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. Even such issues as a soulmate, with whom you need to resolve what's called a relationship contract. even that is a task that I would assign only to the most advanced students that come to me, or the advanced clients that come to me. The kind of work that you're doing in rescuing them from childhood trauma and repairing the damage of childhood trauma and neglect, that is far more important for beginning clients, and that's where I go until the client is ready. It's like a light comes on inside of them, and they say, I know there's some kind of karmic lesson I'm supposed to learn. There was something I must have done in a past life. Then, and only then, are they truly ready to explore those karmic lessons.
Go ahead, Lana.
Okay. That's really interesting, David. Can you tell us then how, if they do have insight into this, and you then go into a different type of, I guess, therapy reaching into past lives, how does that, and how is that different in terms of its ability to repair and heal? How's past life regression?
You're working in two different planes of consciousness, okay? The kind of work that you and I generally do with what's called ego-building therapy is working largely in the emotional body with repairing our emotional damage, and in the mental body with clearing negative core beliefs about ourselves and the world so that we can be better people. Clearing core beliefs out of the way, getting new positive core beliefs about ourselves, and healing the emotional trauma. All that happens at the emotional and mental planes. But the work of karma and the work that I do with past life regression in general is often working at the causal plane. That is the plane of consciousness from which our higher self creates our reality for us.
That makes
so it's the realm at which most of us are only dimly aware that it even exists, such a realm. But it's the realm from which all the great spiritual masters have taught, from which we can, the only place where we can truly complete our spiritual purpose and align ourselves with our spiritual destiny. That can only be done once we're willing to examine the causal plane. I'm sorry to have to throw in so many complicated words, but at least when I taught this in Delhi a few years back, they understood these words and what they meant.
Well, these are common words that we use in the spiritual community that I'm somewhat familiar with.
And good. So, so at the causal plane, I'm actually examining, for example, yes, my father beat me as a child. Okay, that's a fact. Now, at the emotional planes, my task would be to rescue you from that experience, release the emotion of the rage and the hurt from your body, maybe receive your father's sincere apologies and maybe work toward resolving those feelings, or maybe even getting a new inner father to give us a sense of safety. All of that's done in the emotional planes. All of it's done in the mental planes. But at the causal plane, what that means is we want to examine what was the purpose of your higher self in bringing you that kind of father and that kind of experience of abuse. What was the purpose of that experience of abuse? So we learn what the lesson is, and we learn how that experience of father's abuse is supposed to have shaped our destiny towards something more positive. That's the difference between causal plane work and the work we do in the mental and emotional plane. It has a lot. We're not going around changing or fixing what happened. We're just looking at what we need to look at to learn the lesson in those
That's
experiences.
That's a great definition and explanation for me.
Well, let me give you an example, okay? I was my own father.
I think Lana wants to ask you a quick question.
Okay, go ahead, Lana. Sure.
I guess I'm thinking about this. I don't quite get it. And, you know, I don't really remember past lives. There's just a faint possibility of being a fantastic, great, well-known Buddhist master, but I don't know if that's my fantasy or not. But in listening to you, I think, let me see if I get it. It's sort of like what's coming to me at the moment is that usually as me, Lana, I feel concerned and worried about all the damage that big companies are doing to our planet in terms of oil spills and in terms of, you know, people, you know, poachers exterminating animals, etc., etc. And what's just coming to me right now, and I don't know whether this analogy is correct or not, but is that as a human being, I actually am fully responsible for everything that's happened to the Earth because of maybe past lives, but because of being a human. And there's a difference between perhaps blaming and being outside the situation and being fully in the situation and understanding and accepting full responsibility. Is that sort of similar to what you're saying?
I actually don't agree with you on this because I don't believe that I, even though I am a human being and a member of this very race is doing all this damage to the Earth, I don't believe that I am completely responsible for all the damage being done by the entire human race. That would be a
person.
Certainly, I am responsible for, nor do I feel guilty about that, but I do feel it is my responsibility and our responsibility as human beings to see what we can do individually and collectively to change the karma that we are generating through our physical actions on the planet. Yes, and there will be karmic consequences of this. The human race, in my opinion, most members of the human race will not be here.
That's
civilization will be demolished over the next 100 years, not because God needs to send out any lightning bolts. Oh, no, we'll do it to ourselves.
This is called
the Earth is in no great danger of destruction, but the human race is by our actions out there in the world.
I know my higher power talked to you about this as well, and so did Arthur, and we're talking about natural consequences, and we're talking about violating the law of equilibrium by tipping the balance so far the other way that it needs to come back to its center. And this is where we're at the tipping point now. And this is, I guess, this is what you're talking about, Lana?
Well,
personal responsibility?
I guess I was trying to relate to what you were saying and relate to the causal plane.
Yes, I think you're right. You are, in fact, talking about the causal plane right now. That much is absolutely true.
And
when we talk about our responsibility as humans and our destiny as humans, as well as individuals, that is the causal plane. Why are we here on this earth at this time?
The meaning of life.
Why did we suffer this particular abuse and violation in our past? And what do we need to do to change the future, to express compassion and love and teaching and healing for others? All of that is ultimately described in one of the most important processes I teach in my training, which is called examining the preconception contract. The preconception contract,
like signs.
Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Why don't you tell us your website and
good idea. Let's let everyone know about the website. All the articles I've written about past life regression are available free of charge at our web library. The address is www.alchemyinstitute.com, all small letters, Alchemy Institute, no breaks, alchemyinstitute.com. And if you look on our web library, which you can click onto that from the front page, click onto our web library. You can actually read these articles on your cell phone, too. We have it worked out, so you can do that. Get onto the web library, and somewhere, I think, in the middle of some 400 articles, there is a whole section, a very large, easy-to-find section on advanced levels of past life regression. And in these articles, I go through extensive details in how these processes are done and what their relative benefits are.
And having been trained by you, I can highly recommend your private sessions and your training, and anyone would be do well to look you up and make an appointment with you and look into these things. And I'm going to just allow Lana to say whatever, you know, you have something to ask David
I've got so much to ask, my goodness. It's fascinating to me, and I feel that, you know, obviously the work that you're doing on the causal plane is going in some ways deeper, so much deeper than...
Well, you're absolutely right about that. It is much, and David can confirm this, I'm sure. My work is much, much deeper than any kind of past life regression that's been happening out there in the field so far, and I've been around quite a bit of the passive aggression instruction going on. But one advantage I have, in addition to having some pretty powerful spirit guides, is I'm also trained in Hinduism and Buddhism. That was my major at Duke University. And so I'm very familiar with these concepts of karma, concepts like the Tathagata, concepts like the Tulku. These are concepts of past life regression that are simply not familiar to most past life regression therapists in America. And when I went to India and taught this in India, they said, oh my God, you're the greatest guru we've ever met because you are describing the technology on how to do these things that our gurus have never been able to describe to us. Well, it's not because I'm a great guru. It's because I have a good technological mind. I was a math prodigy back in high school and early college career. And so as a mathematician, I know how to get duplicatable results. And as you remember, David, when I covered these, you remember how each one has, here's step one and here's step two, and if that doesn't work, here's step three.
I saw things in some work that I did with the students was amazing, and under hypnosis, I saw one woman who found herself without a body as her conscious self, and it was really interesting to confirm that in the subconscious mind and on the inner plane. And your work is amazing, and I know my higher power identifies you as a person who has these techniques to work on the causal plane and to really make a difference. And many other people that we've had on the show and work with as well are doing this. And it's really, you're actively doing it as opposed to, you know, being informational, which is really important.
Yes. As every aspect of my training is extremely experiential. And every day, this is one reason why we've, in spite of repeated requests over the years, we've never developed an online training program for this, because we feel that only when a group of spiritually dedicated individuals are working together in close association and supervision with each other, only there does the real magic happen. But it definitely happens there. So I'm not going to try to dilute that by offering an online educational program. It just would not be the same, as you know, David. Yeah, you remember how powerful the cauldron was when we were working together. It was amazing.
It was very different from anything I've ever seen. It was really important as a part of my awakening.
Exactly.
I was really intrigued about this and really reflecting on what you're saying. Really exciting information.
But it's very deep. It's very deep. It's on a different, completely different level.
Well, sure.
I know, David, that it triggered, you know, such a huge awakening in you. This is David Almeida.
No kidding.
I know that David Quigley was there. I think it's one of your sessions with him, wasn't it? When this came, you know, which triggered your awakening. Can I ask you, David, quickly, for our listeners, how would they know, if they have an issue, how would they know whether to first of all address it in conventional therapy as opposed to past life?
That's a very important question. In fact, it's the first question I address in my articles is about past lives. Are they real? And more importantly, how is past life regression a practical intervention?
Right.
Short-term therapeutic intervention comparable to, say, as you were saying, present life work, gestalt therapy, childhood regression. And that is indeed the question I want to address. And one of the biggest problems in the history of past life regression is most past life regression therapists have really not known how to answer that. They can have a huge argument about whether this past life is real or not, but they've never really examined whether it is a practical and valuable technology. And the reason is because there have been no precise protocols of what to do to solve practical problems. It's all just take a deep breath and we're going back to a past life and that's it. And as you remember, David, I even said that in class. I said there's no background out there in the world of past life regression for the kind of work I'm going to be teaching you, which is about practical solutions of everyday problems using several precise past life regression protocols. Let me give you a couple of examples.
Of course, I appreciate that, because being a private investigator, I look for solution-based techniques to solve problems in a practical way. So I sort of relate to how you do things that way.
Yeah.
And it does work well. And you do have to deal with what's on your plate in this life before you can start delving into the darker reaches of your subconscious mind. So, you know, conventional therapy is usually the first intervention. And I think when you're ready for the rest of it, your higher power will intervene with you and bring these things to light. And when it believes you're ready to handle it, otherwise it's
exactly.
of no use to you.
Exactly. Good. So let me give you an example. Okay, let's say a client wants to come to me, and ordinarily I don't even go to past lives at all unless they give me some information that makes it clear to me that there is a past life regression technique that could work for them. So that's the only problem about it. Because in other words, I'm not one of these one size fits all, everybody go back to a past life therapist. I am not that way at all. A lot of the type of work that I do is going to be very comparable to what you do. But let's say a client comes to me and they say, well, I've got this pattern of feeling very, very sad and depressed about life, and it seems to come up all the time, and I've already gone back and looked at my childhood, and that doesn't seem to be solving it. So I would think maybe there's a past life trauma there that we need to explore. But instead of saying past life, I'll say, let's just go back to a time when you first experienced that weak, helpless feeling, that feeling that no one would ever love you. In that case, I'm giving instructions that may or may not go back to a past life. They go back to wherever the client's subconscious mind needs them to go. So my work is very client-centered. It is not centered on what my fantasy is about the client's needs. It's centered on what the subconscious mind gives us.
So that's very important, isn't it? Because you make it, you leave
very
it open.
Very much so, because there's no, if you're, you can do a lot of wild goose chasing in some past life full of thousands of years of silly-ass memories that aren't going anywhere. Because it's about their childhood.
Then, when you say that to them, what happens to reinforcing you the understanding that it's a past life issue rather than a present life issue?
Well, I don't know. I say, let's go down and find out where it is and where it began, and the client then will start describing, oh my gosh, I'm in a teepee and the cavalry is coming. And at that point, I know we're in a past life. A lot of times, I don't even know where we're going. Now, here's another example. Let's say a client goes to me, they want to discover a creative ability. They say, you know, I really need to, for example, a lot of my weight loss clients need to develop creative abilities as a solution to keep them from eating all the time. They've got to find some kind of creative hobby. So we might go on a journey to find a creative ability, and they might find something in childhood. They may remember, oh, yes, as a child, I used to love to do painting. Or they may wind up going back to a past life to discovering that they were a poet in a previous life, and they could develop that ability as well. So you see, I kind of go where the client needs to go. Still, another case would be the client says, I want to know why I keep getting into the wrong kind of relationship over and over and over again. So
oh,
in that case,
perfect.
Because it's a pattern that is a part of some kind of bad luck pattern, that's when I suggest the possibility that there might be an overt act. There might be something you did in a past life that is playing itself out in this pattern of suffering today. And a lot of times the client will look at me as if a light has come on inside them and go, wow, yes, I always knew that was true. And then we can simply use hypnosis to go back and find out what it was. But
okay,
I usually
so
like
I
to
think,
follow
I
the client's subconscious mind, which directs the process much better than I could.
So, David, if I'm understanding properly, what you're saying is that usually with issues and things like that, it's you're certainly of the opinion that, you know, therapy based in the here and now is important, but it's when you've really done that and there's something that keeps coming up that doesn't seem to belong in your current life.
Absolutely
that's,
correct.
That's
exactly.
When it might
that's
be.
Exactly how I would do it. That's well described.
Okay. Right.
Because although there are plenty of past life regression therapists who just think everything is about past lives, heck, you can find people who think everything is about childhood trauma. You'll find some that think it's all about a brain chemical imbalance. You've got these people with their negative attitude, their, shall I say, fixed attitudes about what the solution
is. Unright way of doing things.
What you'll learn if you study alchemy is that alchemy is not like that at all. Alchemy has
multi-strategy approach to situations. Yes. I think that's what I'm hearing, is that we're talking about taking a multi-strategy approach to resolving situations.
Exactly.
And coming
alchemy is an extremely versatile strategy. Mm. As the great alchemist Paracelsus once said, alchemy requires a mixing together of many different substances. Various forms of past life regression are only a few of the many tools that you can learn about by studying my website. On the Alchemy Institute website, there's articles about everything I do with childhood and past lives and physical illnesses, et cetera, et cetera. And you can learn what the many techniques are that I use.
You do have to have many tools in your arsenal in order to solve problems.
But the reason why I call this whole, there's an umbrella around all this called alchemy, is because the ancient alchemists were primarily famous, not for turning lead into gold, but famous among their own ranks for working with inner guides as a source of healing and transformation. That's what the alchemists did, and that's what they still do. All the alchemists I train all over the world, that's what they do. So anytime I get stuck with a client, I will say, well, gee, what does your higher self say needs to be done? Or what does your past life guide say we need to do here? What does your inner father think is needed? And I train clients to work with these inner guides, what Carl Jung called archetypes, as the primary source of healing the client's condition. So honoring the beings that live within the subconscious mind and using their help whenever possible, and training my clients in how to call upon and work with these guides themselves, by doing these things, I'm practicing alchemy.
We understand that very much because we work, we use the word alchemy quite a bit because I'm into mysticism, and Lana likes to work a lot with turning negative events into positive experiences and just using transformational processes.
Yes, in fact, one of the things that makes alchemy unique is that very process that we go back and transform memories. We transform emotions.
Because you can eliminate nothing. Those memories are what you take with you, and they're always with you, and all of those experiences are always with you, and you can't eliminate them, but you can work with them, and that's what we try to do
in
our own relationship with other people. So it's been, and it is a very powerful technique to use, and I encourage everyone to visit your website. And well, it's been great. I think, I'm not sure how much time we have left. I know we wanted to touch a little bit more on soulmates and twin flames.
According to my clock, we have about 8 minutes left. Not a lot of time to go into such a deep topic, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
What do you want to do here, Lana?
Oh, my goodness. Only 8 minutes left. So many questions.
I'm actually hearing 4 minutes.
4 minutes, okay. Well, maybe we might have to wrap up and perhaps have you again on our show.
I mean,
an amazing, topic. Most of us have difficulty, just understanding our current lives, but this is past lives.
Very
this is so much deeper at such a, greater level.
Irony is that many of my clients do not understand what's going on in their present life or what its meaning is until they have discovered their past lives, because there is where the circumstances and decisions were set up that are affecting my client now. So in fact, people are having a hard enough time. I remember one client saying to me, well, David, I'm having a hard enough time figuring out my present life. Why should I go back there? Well, the reason to go back there is so that you will finally understand why you are experiencing the suffering and pain you're going through right now.
It was interesting in my life where I became the defender. I actually defended criminals, pedophiles. I went on to, work with missing children and abused children as a guardian ad litem. And so I guess I did that for that reason. And that was part of my personal journey in this life, was to defend people and protect people who no one else wanted to deal with. And Lana as well, she's dealing with people that people just don't have the patience to deal with because it's so complicated. It's new as well, David. It's
Really.
Got about 90 seconds here, so amen. I love that word.
All right. Well, I would love a past life regression. I'm not sure.
Well, I do work over the phone, so if any out there in the studio audience would like to set up a session with me, it frankly isn't easy because my schedule is pretty busy. But I do two-hour past life regression sessions. You can call me at my home number at 707-539. That's my home office, 707-539-4989, if any of you want to set up something. But, yes, it is an incredibly powerful journey to be able to explore past lives as a part of this kind of advanced healing technology.
Yes.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds to wrap up, so I just want to thank you for being on our show, David. This was fascinating.
It was wonderful to have you inviting me to be a part of this show. I'm very excited about returning to the show at some point, so let's talk about when that could be, and let your studio audience know as well.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, my love to you both. It'll be a real pleasure continuing our dialogue in this way in future sessions of the radio show, and I want to thank the hosts over there at BBS for putting me up, and I'm looking forward to talking to you all soon. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Lots of love to you and Raven.
And I hope everyone's enjoyed our show, and till next time.
We'll see you next time on
Universal Love.
Self-love.
Self-love.
Yes.